Well, Pastor Brian graciously extended an invitation to take a part of several of the Lenten services and to have the opportunity to minister. And as it turns out, this is the only one I'll be speaking at. My wife and I are going to be going to a treatment center for cancer treatment. And so I wanted to say thank you tonight because we so appreciate the prayers of this church. It just is one of the things that has held her up. And so she is going into the battle, I guess you'd say, and we'll be gone. We don't know how long, but we'll be gone for several weeks at least and won't be able to be here for the Wednesday night services. But what an opportunity to be able to speak tonight until I realized my subject. And I then began to shiver and shake because it's one that is all too familiar to both my wife and I, as you'll understand when I begin to share the message with you. I'm going to expand the text just a little bit from what's in your Bible or in your bulletin. It says 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. I'm actually going to read to verse number 23. And just a little background here, Peter is writing to believers, and so I believe this is a good message for tonight because I believe we're probably believers here, all of us, I would guess, and he's writing to believers that are suffering. And so tonight, as we look at this text, keep that in mind, that this is a struggle that people were facing persecution and all kinds of things, And so he's addressing the issue of suffering, and that's something that I guess right now we're experiencing, along with probably others here tonight. My wife asked me, she said, ask them how many have had a knee replacement. So I'm going to do that right now. Raise your hand. How many of you have had a knee replaced? All right. Does it feel good? It does afterwards, but it hurts like crazy for a while, doesn't it? It's one of the most painful operations. I've had two of them replaced. You've had two as well? And it's because she and I were talking about suffering, and she always tells me, she says, I think your knee replacement's far worse than what I'm going through. Go figure that one. I don't think so, but suffering, we all experience suffering. That's not a new subject, is it? We all experience it. And so it's something I trust you'll be able to relate to tonight. Would you stand with me and let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bear up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for the privilege of being able to share it with those who are gathered here. And we pray as we touch on this subject of Jesus having given us an example to follow, and that example is the suffering of our Lord, that we too can learn what it is that you've called us to, Lord, and you've called us to live holy and godly lives, and we pray that you'll teach us individually how that is to be worked out in our life. And Lord, we just pray that you'll speak to each heart here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus has given us an example to follow. Now, as I was getting ready to minister, and in fact, the very first thought I had when I realized what we were going to be talking about tonight, thought back to Larry's message that he shared a couple of Sundays ago, and then especially to Pastor Brian's message this last Sunday. One of the things we have to realize that this is written to believers. This is not a salvation message. When Christ giving us an example, you are not saved by Christ's example. You're not saved by doing the things that he did. You and I are saved by grace and by grace alone. It is through faith, by grace, that Jesus saves us and washes us clean with his own blood. And so I just want to make that clear at the outset. When I say Jesus has given us an example to follow, that we are not talking about a salvation issue. We're talking about, and it seems like this has been the theme lately from the pulpit, we're talking about how to live that out, how to serve Christ, how to be a Christian. And so Jesus does give us an example. And that example, as we've read in our text here tonight, is an example of suffering. And I'm going to look at three aspects tonight of Jesus' example to better understand what suffering is in this life and how we may deal with it. And so just first of all, just as Jesus experienced suffering in this life, so we're going to experience. I know there was a while back a teaching that went around, kind of a doctrine, and I don't know if any of you were exposed to it or not, that Christians don't have to suffer. Well, if that's the case, then I must not be a Christian. And I don't think that's true because I know the Lord. And many of you can relate to exactly what I'm saying tonight. Just because we're a Christian doesn't mean we are immune from the effects of sin's consequences in this world. And so, in fact, that's what Peter's addressing. Now, Peter is obviously part of what he's talking about here, or a good deal of what he's talking about, is the suffering that's inflicted because of their Christian stand. But I'm talking about a more general suffering, that it's a part of living in this sinful world, a world that has been affected by sin. We will experience those things. They're not pleasant. They're not pleasurable. It is something that comes to all of us. 1 Peter 2:21, for hereunto were you called. Notice that it says you were called. You were called to this. You're called because Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, you talk about Christ suffering, and we all know these scriptures. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 28. And you know, sometimes we gloss over them, and we dare not do that, especially during this season. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 28. The scripture says, they stripped him. They put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They were mocking him. They bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And the scripture says, and they spit upon him. And they took a reed and they smote him on the head. And remember, there's a crown of thorns, and we know this. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him. And they led him away to crucify him. And I was so moved in the service we had here at the church when the cross was placed right here. And we were to come down and drive a nail in the cross. And I was touched by that because Jesus suffered. He died for us on an old rugged cross. And remember, it wasn't something that just is a, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It was nails going into his hands and into his feet. It was a crown of thorn on his head. It was a spear going into his side. He suffered for us, and he bled and died, the Bible said. The important thing I want to mention here is that his suffering was not in vain. It was for us. It was for us tonight. He suffered and died and bled for you and me. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We don't suffer for sins. That's not what we're talking about tonight. 1 Peter 2:21 again says, here in Christ were you called. Christ suffered, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. We're going to suffer, no question about it. There's going to be times of pain. Excuse me, there's going to be times when things are not comfortable in this life. When those times come, I believe what this scripture is talking about is we can look to the one who ultimately suffered for you and for me. And we can look to him and he'll have compassion and he'll have mercy on us during our times of difficulties, our times of trials tonight. We are so often surprised when suffering comes our way. I don't know why, but it seems like we are. It's, you know, oh, why? It's me. Why me? Well, happens to all of us, doesn't it? Happens to all of us, and we don't know what form it's going to take. If some of the things that have come into our home, if we would have anticipated them, I'm not sure that we could have gone on. I'm not sure how we would have gone on. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't tell you in advance what you're going to face in the future? But you know what? He gives grace when that moment comes. He gives grace. The song says he giveth more grace. Oh, Jesus does. And I know that even in a group like this, that there are some that are facing some kind of difficulty, some kind of trial. Whatever you're suffering tonight, whatever you're facing, Jesus understands it. And he gives the grace that you need. Beloved, think it not strange in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad and rejoice with exceeding joy. There's going to be suffering. Just as Jesus suffered and sinned not, our suffering tonight when we experience discomfort and pain in our life must not lead to sin. Excuse me. We'll see who drinks more water. It must not lead to sin. You know, so often when we experience something we don't want to experience, some discomfort in our life, what is our first response? So many people, it's to say, why, God? Why am I going through this? And I can understand. I can relate to that. And I don't think that's necessarily a wrong thing to ask God, to go to him, to fall before him and say, why, oh Lord, why are you doing this? And we might not ever know the answer. Excuse me. We might not ever understand. The song says we'll understand it by and by. But someday we'll understand it. But we dare not allow it to lead us to fall away from Jesus Christ or to turn our back on the Lord. Through the years as a pastor, I've known people, something's come into their life and they've thrown up their hands and they've said, well, if that's what Christianity's like, I'm not going to serve the Lord. And they walk away from God. I don't know about you, but I don't know where you go. I don't know where you go. If we don't have Jesus, I don't know what we do have. 1 Peter 2:22 said he did no sin. He did no sin. He suffered. He left an example for us. But verse 22 says he did no sin and neither was guile found in his mouth. He set the perfect example as our subject is tonight. And unfortunately, we are fallible, fallen human beings. But the Bible says the Lord knoweth our frame that we are but dust. And think it not strange, another scripture says, brethren, as though some strange thing were happening to you when fiery trials come upon you. They're going to come. We are human. But the joy and the victory is that salvation is ours. Amen. We must resist the devil, and we must give ourselves to God. James chapter 4 says in verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's not always easy to do, but that's what God is calling us to do. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so there's going to be suffering. It dare not lead us to sin. And finally, suffering as Jesus was innately righteous, it produces righteousness within us. Now, this is not about salvation, because we're saved by grace. We don't have to be righteous to be saved. We come to Jesus, as the song says, just as we are. But as we experience the things of this life and the difficulties and the trials and the sufferings that come our way, hopefully it produces within us a righteousness and the reflection of Jesus Christ as we look to him. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. It's found in no other way than committing yourself to Jesus Christ, no matter what it is you face, no matter what it is you're going through. To commit yourself to Christ. That's what my wife and I have done. We've just agreed that we're going to give it to the Lord. In the very first, way back, when Doris first got her diagnosis that she had cancer, and we sat down to eat a meal, I remember that day and I prayed, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. And then prayed for the meal that we were going to eat. And we got done. My wife looked at me and she said, honey, thank you. Thank you for thanking the Lord for his goodness. That's the kind of suffering that we're talking about here today. It leads us to righteousness. It leads us toward Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord's goodness. He is not capricious or unpredictable. He is good to his people. Psalm 77. I'm going to read quite a few verses here, down to 14 verses. Psalm 77. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking, so I am so troubled I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Have you ever felt that way? Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail evermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember. Here's the catch. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doing. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And who is so great? Who is so great as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. I want to tell you tonight, no matter what it is you're going to face or you are facing or going through, God is good. God is good. And he loves us. And as we look at what suffering produces, a message was an example to follow. Righteousness, we're talking about the righteousness of Christ and allowing what we experience to bring righteousness in our life. Righteousness and godly living go hand in hand. They work together. And I closed with this tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. And then there's a list that we're going to read. And I want you to listen to it. For this very nature, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. That is spiritual growth. That's serving God. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, who left us an example to follow. And are we going to follow it well tonight? That would be the question that I would put to you. Are we going to follow His example well tonight? I would encourage you, rather than look away from Him, look to Him, because He is a good God. Let us pray. Lord, no matter what it is that we may be going through tonight, may our heart be fixed on You. May we truly say with a sincere heart that God is good. All the time, God is good. And He's a God of love and mercy and faithfulness. And Lord, no matter what type of trial that we're experiencing, may we realize that You understand it. And may we come to You, Lord, casting all our cares on You, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, for You care for us. Bless Your people tonight. Meet their needs. Touch them where their deepest needs, hurts, and longings are. We pray Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.